The Story Grows. I'm Brad Patton. Today we welcome Ambush frontman Oscar Jacobson to the podcast. Ambush released Evil in All Dimensions back on September 5th with Napalm Records. Oscar talks about his experience in the Swedish metal scene, the unique way he learned to sing, his love for traditional heavy metal, making great band merchandise, and more. I'm a big fan of Evil in All Dimensions. It's a fun record, so make sure you check it out. Thanks much for listening to As the Story Grows. If this is your first time checking out the podcast, welcome. Thanks for listening. You can find links in our show notes for our Discord server, our mailing list, and our Patreon page, where you can support the show financially, and $1 a month gets you early access to every episode. Enjoy today's conversation with Oscar from Ambush. Glad to have you on. It's always a little tough knowing like the person I'm talking to just had an interview before me, because I'm like, how can I be more interesting, or at least just not do the same thing you just
I had three interviews before, so you need to be very careful.
Oh man, geez. Okay, no pressure.
No, but I always have such a great time in doing these interviews anyway. Almost everyone are awesome.
At this point, you know the answers, so like I don't even have to ask the questions, right? You just like,
oh, let's see if you bring something new to the table.
We'll try. Let's just start kind of basic. What got you into music, and I guess what got you into metal?
Oh, when I was a little kid, my father. We always had music in our family. Like when I was 1-2 years old, my father was playing guitar and I was singing when I was a little kid. You know, we had multiple VHS tapes of me and my little brother, you know, singing and cute Christmas hats and everything, singing Christmas songs. And then we started to blues jam a lot when I got a little bit older. He is into the blues.
Okay.
So we jammed the family and discovered, like my father listened to everything from the Canadian band Saga to Mark Knopfler, you know, Dire Straits, and Supertramp, he's a big fan of. So that was something I was listening to when I was a kid as well. Nice. Because he had all the records and stuff. And then when I was like 6 or 7 years old, we were watching a TV show in Sweden called Aiming at the Stars. I don't know if you have something similar in the US, but this was normal people doing makeup to look like an artist. And then they come out and they look like the artist and then they perform. So there was one guy at this show that dressed up as Gene Simmons. So this was my first understanding that hard rock is the coolest style of music.
It
still is. Like it was a wake up call for me. So I started listening to Kiss, and my parents thought, "Oh, this is a little bit hard, you know, for a kid to listen to." But I was I must listen to Kiss.
Yeah.
But then it grew from there. I started listening to Iron Maiden when I was a little bit young, like maybe eight years old, 7 years old. And from there, it's just been heavy metal was a great passion since then.
Yeah. For you, was there, I know oftentimes when people discover heavy music, this was my case, right? Like you hear something and then it just leads you to heavier and heavier stuff. And then eventually you're like, I don't know, if you keep going, right, you're into death and black metal. Was that your trajectory, or were you just like the traditional, like that old school heavy metal vibe all the way?
I mean, in a way, but I'd never stopped listening to anything. I mean, I still listen to Supertramp and Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits and all this beautiful music, and Saga, the Canadian Saga, great band.
Yeah.
But I widened my perspective, of course. And I, when I was like 19, 18, 19, I was much into like, yeah, black metal and death metal, especially a band called Opeth, because I like prog rock and I like death metal, so they combine. And so that was a beautiful thing for me. But I, as I said, I never stopped listening to anything really.
Just
the only thing I don't listen to a lot more is hip hop. I had a little era there, maybe 12 years old. I listened to Snoop Dogg. I thought he was a cool guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, sometimes you just got to change it up, right?
Yeah, sure. I still think he's a cool guy, but I don't listen to his music anymore.
Yeah. did you ever pursue playing an instrument, or was it always like you wanted to be a singer?
I started singing very late in life. I was too shy to sing. I mean, for me, I played guitar when I was a kid. Okay. I went to a couple of guitar lessons, and then I was like, no, fuck that, because it was only classical guitar. You know, you should play the stuff that the teacher tells you to play. And I was more of a rebel, so I didn't want to play that.
Yeah.
but I always got the blues from my father. So by playing the blues, you get the feel for the instrument, and you can, you can play around. And I played guitar and harmonica, actually, because of the blues upbringing.
Nice.
And so I started singing. Actually, when I was 15, I started singing, because then I bought a moped, you know, and I had a helmet on, and I had headphones inside the helmet, so I could sing when no one was listening to me, because my moped was so loud, you know. I tuned it up so it was a little bit faster.
Yeah.
No one could hear me singing in there. So that's how I learned how to sing, really.
That's so great. That it's probably the most original how I learned to sing story I've ever heard on this show. So.
Yeah, but it makes perfect sense, because in the beginning, you don't want to, I mean, if you're going to show yourself naked, you might as well try to, okay, have a good boner or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's better to practice alone in your secluded space before you let yourself out there. Because if someone tells you you suck, you will never sing again. Anyways, at least I work like that. Back then, I was very sensitive to what people thought about everything I did.
Yeah.
I got over that now when I'm older, but back then we're all sensitive.
Yeah.
So we need positive comments. We need encouragement to be able to do something like this, because singing is very personal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. From like, I think the American perspective is like, Sweden has this like phenomenal metal scene. You know, you think about all the like Swedish death metal bands. But what was your kind of experience as a teenager?
Yeah, for me as a teenager, we were all fans of the band from our hometown, Bullet. We play the traditional heavy metal style, and when they played at the big square in our little hometown, the big square in our little hometown, we were all there, and we saw how music actually can take you onto a big stage, you know. And this was a big inspiration for us, I think. Nice. All the band members actually in Ambush. But coming from a small town, you know, we were more interested in the local scene of bands. We had many good bands back then, but unfortunately they split up, because there is not a lot of bands that survive when you start having a job, when you start having a family, you know, naturally some people drop off.
Yeah.
But luckily we didn't. So we continued working for our passion and it's our destiny. I think it's our destiny to do this.
Yeah. I mean, that was a question I have later, but I'll just ask it now. This band started in 2013. I mean, it's kind of a long road to get to now having this record out on Napalm. Was there ever a moment in those 12 years where you're just like, I don't know if this is actually going to happen for us the way we wanted to, and like, we had a good run?
Yeah, it's, as I said, it's different for us because this is our passion. We don't depend on success to continue doing what we're doing. Really, I mean, of course, success helps because of the motivation factor.
Yeah.
You get positive comments and you feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as a matter of fact, I think it's not needed for us. I think this is just natural development of the band, and at some point, when you try hard, you will succeed.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, if you just work hard enough for it and you try to evolve, and you try to get better at everything and try to be comfortable in what you're doing, you will succeed no matter what.
When Ambush formed, what kind of leads you guys all towards this traditional classic heavy metal sound?
Yeah, when we started the band, we were basically a bunch of friends drinking beer, listening to the legendary records of the late 70s, early 80s heavy metal. Judas Priest, Accept, Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, everything. And we decided to, why not start a band where we play together, because we've all played in different bands, but we didn't play together.
Yeah.
And so Olaf, the guitarist, he had in mind, actually, someday I will ask the guys because I wrote some songs. So he had actually written some songs.
Nice.
And we started rehearsing, and it was pretty much magic from the start, really. Nice. So when we released the demo, we were so happy that we got some recognition, and we didn't expect that. The ambitions were very low. We just wanted to have fun and hang out together in a band.
Yeah.
A band constellation is the most beautiful thing you can imagine, because it's a prolonging of a family in a way.
Yeah. I mean, listening to the new record, it definitely reminds me of the first time I heard Dio, and it's just that feeling of just wow, this is exciting and cool.
Dio. Oof.
Yeah. What kind of traditional classic heavy metal has never really gone out of style, but I think you think of old heavy metal heads and not connecting with younger fans. What has it been difficult to build a fan base in kind of this genre, or are you connecting with people across generations?
I think it came pretty natural from the beginning. We had a decade to build our fan base, so I think it was a slow growth, but
yeah.
the our fans are very loyal. And I think the fans of the traditional heavy metal scene are very loyal, because they understand that the bands are struggling, and the culture is not there are no labels throwing a shitload of money on the bands anymore, like in the 80s, you know. So
yeah.
we might help out, we might support, you know, and there are many amazing people out there that are organizing shows. There are many amazing people that come to the shows, and there are amazing bands that play the shows.
Yeah.
We are all united in a way. That's what we come from, the underground, you know, the grassroots movement. And this is something beautiful.
Yeah. You guys signed with Napalm Records. How'd you get connected with the label?
Oh, so we met the guys, actually. We played in, I think it was in Berlin in 2022. We toured together with Enforcer and Evil Invaders. And backstage, we met some guys. We were a little bit drunk, drinking beer. And all of a sudden we started talking with the guy, and then he said, yeah, by the way, I'm working for Napalm Records. It's a big label, like, here I am drunk and so that was the first contact, I think. And then we actually recorded this entire album and we sent it out to many different labels when it was finished. And Napalm was the one that got best personal contact with, I think. And they showed that they really believed in us and wanted to invest in us in a way, because that's needed for a band in our size. You need some investment in PR and promotion to be able to take the next step and to do this. So that was the best decision we ever made, I think. Because, all the guys are fucking amazing, to be honest. And their team, daily contact with them. I mean, you get happy when they send an email.
Nice.
Usually it's not like this when you have a work, you know, you get angry fuckers sending emails.
Called Evil in All Dimensions is the opening track on the record. What was kind of inspiring you from a lyrical perspective when you were writing this record?
Many things. Of course, it's not a concept album, but when I write lyrics, I write down a lot of things. So I basically have 100 lyrics lying around, you know. Mm-hmm. And when there is a riff or something like this for the song, I see if I can get an emotion that is attached to any of the lyrics that I've written. And also otherwise, if I hear a riff, then maybe I get inspired to write something. So for this album, it was an intention to have all the emotions to fit on one album. So all from melancholic vibe to happy vibe to angry vibe to frustrated vibe to cover all the emotions on one album was the intention. So it's up to the listener to get that emotion, and if you do, then we succeeded. Otherwise we failed, but maybe you think it's good anyway, so.
Yeah. No, I think it's incredible. I mean, the first time I heard Mascarova, like the chorus on that is so catchy, and like on the album that track stands out, is kind of different anyways. So like I mean, I like catchy choruses anyways, like across genres of music, like something that gets you, that sticks in your head. So I mean the album works for me.
Yeah, I think on this record also we're a little bit more vulnerable than we've been before. Like we're not afraid to have emotions in the song. Yeah. In heavy metal, traditionally, there is a lot of emotion, but it's usually a limited emotion. Yeah. And it's I think we allowed ourselves to be a little bit more out there, like vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to be, I don't know, a push recently in metal to try to be more vulnerable and not just like, I don't know, gruesome for gruesome sake, or just writing about like trolls and shit.
Good lyrics about trolls, really.
I talked to Ben yesterday, we talked about Dungeons and Dragons for an hour, so it was great.
About anything, really. I mean, it doesn't matter, as long as it has some attitude to it, then it's good often.
Who did the album artwork?
There was a Hungarian guy called Peter Salai. We got in contact with him through the Napalm team. He's been working with many well-renowned artists, so it was a no-brainer to when we got the chance to work with him. And extremely good guy. Talented, very nerdy with his stuff. You know, he pays attention to details. So he's a man of Ambush caliber for sure, and beyond that, I think.
Yeah. When like searching around the internet, doing a little bit of research on the band, I came across your merchandise page. You guys have some of the best merch designs I've seen in a while. How important is that visual aesthetic for your merchandise for the band?
Since the beginning, it's been very important for us because, I mean, the aesthetics of Ambush has always been important, and the merch should follow that direction as well. We don't want to release anything that is not according to their strict rules, in a way, regarding the merch. So, and we have our best friend actually here in our hometown. He makes the old school merch designs for us. He works for a company called Devil's Grip Design. He owns that company. So amazing guy. And you know, you can just, I can just spend 10 minutes walking in that direction, and then I'm with him drinking beer and discussing merch. So
yeah, it was cool to like stumble across the page and be like, oh, I want that t-shirt and that t-shirt and that t-shirt.
Buy it all. There's a sale going on.
I saw. Yeah. It's great. I'm sure shipping to the States is not cheap right now.
There. And if you buy something, we can add a little message for you.
The album came out last Friday. How's the response been so far?
Oh, I mean, well above expectations, actually. Yeah. I mean, we expected people to like the album, but I didn't expect, I mean, looking at the stats of like social media and stuff and everything, it's amazing to see. And we've been working so hard for this, so it feels like thing. If you work hard, it can pay off, really. Yeah. And we hope that this continues, and that we can head over to some really big stages to show what we really are about.
Yeah,
and kick some fucking ass.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to the website. There are currently no shows listed. What's the plan for trying to take this album live?
Oh, we head out on a big tour in October with the legendary band Angel Witch.
Okay, nice.
And so we toured Europe with Angel Witch for 3 weeks. And we also play a couple of festivals in Germany in late September. And in November, we head out to on a South American tour. Mm-hmm. So we play Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, Chile, Argentina. Yeah.
Nice. Have you found, like, I don't know, that there's this, I mean, we kind of asked about traditional metal, but like, I don't know, what's the response at these shows like? What's the fan base like?
Oof. Every time we play, I feel like we get a connection with the audience. That's for sure. Nice. In Europe, or at least in Sweden, the culture is different from Germany.
Yeah.
In Sweden, people are more reserved. People are less able to show passion and emotion. Mm. The cat is running, sorry. but everything is in its own way beautiful, because you get to know what type of culture is in the country, really. Mm-hmm. When we go to South America, people are fucking crazy.
Yeah,
they know all the songs. I don't even have to sing, and if I sing, I'm not heard anyways because they are louder than me. So yeah, it's so different, but I love every country, really, but South America is different. I would like to thank you, Brian, for having me, and I want to say to your listeners that you should stay safe and stay heavy metal and listen to the new album Evil in All Dimensions by Ambush. We love you. See you on the road, hopefully, soon.
It's an excellent record. I'm waiting for my vinyl to come, because everything Napalm does, like, all their records are beautiful. Their packaging is so great, and it always sounds amazing. And so I'm stoked to have it come in.
Great. But where are you at in the U.S.?
Washington, D.C.
Washington, okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Hope to come over at some point. It's it's a threshold to come over to the United States. A lot of costs involved. If we are allowed inside your country, we will cause havoc.
Yeah.
Never before.
It'll be fun.